Here we go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butt.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Knights Are Nerditude podcast. My name is Chris Wilcox. I'm here along with...
John.
Sam.
And Sean.
And we are a podcast for all things nerd. We discuss topics that give everyone a disconnect from the pile of bullshit that we call a presidential election. On tonight's episode, we'll be talking Westworld, Luke Cage, Walking Dead. John has a special topic. But to start, we'll be doing a, since this is an entertainment podcast, we'll be doing a World Series discussion for a small portion. We usually don't do sports. I just want to bring it up because it was an entertainment. It was very entertaining. We're an entertainment podcast.
It's a great game,
so. We have to talk about this only because it was probably...
And it's history.
It's one of the best... sporting events we've seen. I think so. I think we all finished it, right? You fell asleep.
Yeah, I was up. I saw the end.
You did see the end?
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right,
I watched everything.
Cubs won the World Series.
Cubs won! Go Cubbies!
108 years since they won. Curse is lifted. Theo Epstein has, I guess, released or dissipated two curses.
Two curses. Bambino and the goat.
Yep, and... it was the, and the reason why we want to talk about it is because it was the most watched baseball event in the past 25 years.
I believe it.
2001's World Series between the Yankees and the Diamondbacks was the previous one that had more viewers.
For rightful reasons.
Yes.
Because that was the 2001, that was the 9/11.
Yeah, it was after 9/11, and it was a fucking amazing series.
And that's what gave Derek Jeter the nickname Mr. November.
Yep. Yeah. And so this one was a... fight to the finish. You got to give credit to Cleveland. They did come back from, what was it, 5-1, and then 5-3.
And then 5.
Something like that.
It was back and forth, but Cleveland was down basically the entire time.
Yep.
So
blew a 3-1 lead there. I hadn't heard that one before.
And I was texting you guys, and this was really, if the Cubs lost, it was Joe Maddon's fault because he took out Hendricks.
Yeah,
he took him out one inning too early, and he took Lester out,
and then left Chapman in.
He took Lester out one inning too early.
I was talking to Sean about this. Anyone get the vibe that like Maddon wanted to lose that game?
I don't know.
Because, like, first of all, there was...
Joe's playing the long game.
Yeah. But first of all, there was... It was when Haywood was on
third. And Baez was up to bat with a 3-2 count.
And he told him to do a squeeze play. A bunt.
Yeah, with two strikes.
It was not even just two strikes. It's a 3-2. A ball, and he's on base.
Yep. Yeah. I think it was... If the Cubs were to lose that game, it would be management's fault for that. Because there's two outs, and Hendricks is throwing fucking strikes, and he's only throwing 70 pitches.
Hendricks is dominating. Not even 70. He's at 62, I think. When
was he?
Yeah.
He had 70. And even if he was tired, stick him to 70, and that's it.
He was dominating the Indians, and that last at-bat he had, where two of the balls that were called were right over the plate in the strike zone. Over the plate.
That's umpire. That's problem with umpires for the past 25 years.
But
so.
Either way, as a coach, I'd be like, okay, and that he ended up walking the guy. As a coach, I would have looked at that and been like, you didn't get the right calls. Keep going.
Yep.
Keep
finish
going.
It.
Why not?
Two outs.
But no, he even said, I'm not putting Lester in the middle of an inning.
Until
what does he do?
Trouble.
He puts him in the middle of an inning.
And he wasn't really in trouble.
Yeah. And Lester gave up two runs on the wild pitch. And then my MVP, though Zobrist took it, I voted, what's his face? The catcher.
Ross.
David Ross. I voted him MVP because
what a way to end.
Like, first of all, he takes the thing off of the wild pitch off the mask, and then like falls down the two-run score. So he's down in the dumps. He comes up to bat. Oldest player in World Series history to hit a home run.
I think it was the second
Something
pitch.
Like that. But crushed it dead center. And like you watch him going around, he's like deadpan.
I don't even think he was breathing.
And it was fun. Did you see the interview after the game? Well, not after the game, but on the field, like while they're celebrating with
yes,
him.
Yes, I don't.
Where
remember
he was
it,
like,
though.
"We watched you, celebrate, do the walk. You said nothing. Why?" He goes, "Well, if you have a swing like mine, you'd be surprised too."
What a way to end a career, though. Oh, yeah. He's retired.
Can I just say something?
What?
I'm a Pirates fan, and they share a division with the Cubs.
Right.
I did not want them to win, because the next year is just going to be people talking about the team of destiny and all this bullshit.
Right.
Time and time. That's why I didn't want them to win this year.
Yeah.
Because that's all people talked about this year.
Yeah, you will be annoyed with the Cubs like by the end of this week.
Oh, I am already. This entire year, I've just been like, please just
That's just because
lose.
You play them.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's, like, if you know what? Anyone ever mentions the NL Central, no one mentions anything other than the Cubs.
Yeah.
Hey,
Cubs or Cardinals? Because
Cardinals
have won.
You got to give it to them, though. Coming back from a 3-1
deficit.
No,
yeah, that was a big comeback. It's just, plus, they are a very undeserving fan base. I'll say that.
Oh boy.
No more than the Indians, though. Let's be real.
We're not gonna get
like,
into the fans.
Cleveland
fans.
Indians.
Fuck Cubs
no,
fans.
We are fucking taking a stand here. I'm gonna fucking trash people. Fucking Cleveland Indians did you hear how loud it is when the Cubs scored last night? Like that place was lousy with Cubs fans. Like
they traveled really well last night.
And
well,
the fucking Cleveland Indians like sold all their tickets, all their fans. What a bunch of fucking sellouts.
Yeah, right.
Like seriously. Like, and it's not like if this was like the Red Sox or the Giants where your team like has just won and it's won a lot recently.
Yeah,
I still think it's unexcusable if it's a game 7, but like
a little bit
more conceivable than a team that has won since 47. Like a team that hasn't won in, 48. I mean, a team that hasn't won in 70 years.
Granted, it's acceptable, but not acceptable. And it's a weird situation because tickets were going for over $2,000 for that. So
well over.
Yeah, you need to kind of take it with a grain of salt because some people don't have.
I think one sold for 19.5.
Yeah.
Do you imagine, know how many VCRs that's going to buy in Cleveland?
You mean houses?
Yeah.
But exactly. All right, I don't want to go long on this one. But Chapman. I was texting you guys.
Yeah.
And it was, okay, so here's what it was. You have a power hitter coming up.
Yeah.
You throw a 101.
No, not even a power hitter. Rajai Davis.
It was an average.
He didn't
hit
last home run he hit was in
August.
August. So 2 months ago.
Whatever. Here's the thing.
Either way.
Chapman.
Fastball.
101.
Fastball.
102.
Fastball.
98.
Fastball.
99.
Fastball.
And then I think it ended on like a 93.
Fastball.
And what do you expect him to do?
On the seventh pitch, I'm like, throw a fucking changeup. Throw something.
The batter was choked up on the bat.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a quick swing. The ideal thing to do would be to throw a changeup. Even if it was 10 miles per hour slower, you would have fucking struck him out.
I think all he has
is
a slider.
It doesn't matter.
It wouldn't matter. Just,
a slider is slower than his fastball.
Yeah.
Throw the slider.
You're right, though, Chris. He literally did exactly what he wanted. He wanted to fucking pull it down the line, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And when he did that, I was absolutely convinced the Cubs are going to lose.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he kept him in, and then it was just...
And that the whole ninth, he was throwing sliders. Nothing but sliders. Not a single pitch over 100.
Probably somebody went up to him and said, "What the fuck are you doing?"
No, he was so fatigued. He was so exhausted at that point.
Oh, well, yeah, he's been
emotionally and physically. Like,
I think
he was done.
He, 200 pitches?
No, 90-something pitches in the last 3 games.
Yeah, that's
but like,
a lot
are
for
you,
a closer.
Are you insane, though, to send out a guy who blows a World Series, like, Game 7 lead? And send him back out there? Like, I could maybe see if the Cubs came back, scored those 2 runs in the top of the ninth, and then sent him back with another lead.
Yeah,
but
you have a guy who can throw well over 100 in a row multiple times in a row.
Yeah.
And he was running out of juice in the end and he knew it. And that was only one at bat.
Yeah. You saw it from the beginning of the bat
to the end.
There was no reason for him to be in there.
But
they won.
They won. They came
all
back.
I have to say
they got the hit.
First of all, Ben Zobrist, he played for Kansas City last year, played for the Cubbies this year. He's approaching Hinsky levels here, because Eric Hinsky played for the losers for like 4 straight years. He's played for the winners of the past too. So whoever Zobrist is on next year, they're going to win it. I'm just saying. Well, but I had the same reaction as Zobrist when he scored that double. Like, that was like one of the greatest celebrations I've ever seen between him and Rizzo at third, where Rizzo was like hands on his head going, "Oh my God." Like, I was like doing that, but doing like the flexing the muscle thing. Oh, like
LeBron
screaming.
James flexing.
Oh yeah. Taking up like five seats with his wingspan. Yeah. Like,
right. So, just a few numbers for this game. 71% of TVs in Chicago had this game on.
Oh, I believe
71%. The viewers were just over 40 million. Just to give you a comparison, that doubled last Sunday night's football game between the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Well,
that
yeah.
doubled them, and it was more than any of the Olympics night in the past Olympics. It was half of the first debate, and the most recent Super Bowl had 114 million viewers. So damn. Less than half. So 37%.
Baseball is like really yeah. turned.
No, but it's good for MLB. It's good for.
Good
you know,
for sports.
Yeah, well, I mean, general. The fact that the game going into the ninth inning was what, okay. 3 hours and 45 minutes, almost yeah. 4 hours, that's fucking ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, but it was an entertaining game the whole time.
Oh,
if
yeah.
It, if
yeah.
it was a 1-0 game the whole time, I mean, I know.
If
I
it was
say,
like 6-0.
Yeah, if it was like 6-0 the whole time, yeah. I no chance.
Because like
it.
A lot of the games in the series actually weren't great. Like,
yeah, they weren't
game
great.
Game 7 was good, but it was a lot of like, not quite blowouts, but like, pretty boring game.
Total
otherwise.
Score at the end of the series, I think, was 27 all.
27-27.
And then, you know, obviously,
right.
it worked out. Yeah. Game 7, it had to go to game 7. So
right. Yeah. Here's one, I'll leave you with one other stat. Of the top 100 TV events so far this year, 96 of them have been for live TV shows.
Wow.
Interesting.
I like that.
I mean, we're not talking top 10. Like, 100 is going pretty deep. Like, we're talking, like, you know, season finales of shit, and, like, it's, that, like, four. And, like, two of them were, like, the Colbert after the Super Bowl and, like, 60 Minutes after the playoffs. So those were all, like, you know, play-in shows, essentially.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense where television is going. People are watching it on their computers now.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, if it's not a live...
thing you're really watching on TV is a live event.
Yeah, there's very few shows I don't watch with... I mean... pretty much, if it has commercials and it's not live, I'm going to like watch it at least like 20 minutes in or like 20 minutes late.
Oh, so I never start episodes until... I never start episodes until 20 minutes in.
Yeah, like I'll watch HBO shows and stuff live, but that's because...
Yeah, there's no commercial.
Right.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, speaking of live shows, and I'm sure on that list was Talking Dead.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit of Walking Dead, seeing as how me and Sean are pretty much the only two who watch it. Let's get it out of the way. We're going back into our normal realm of discussion here. Yeah. But The Walking Dead, last week, Sunday night, we got introduced to King Ezekiel.
Yep, finally
and
introduced
the
him.
The Kingdom, and it was a big hype. And I guess he's a major role in the comics. I don't read the comics, but I guess he's a major player. You liked the episode, Sean, because of the pigs.
Yeah, that was the one thing that stood out is, like...
Aside from the tiger.
Well, I mean...
Yeah. Okay. Target but anyway, cool. continue. Go with the pigs.
Anyway, so the pigs. So the people are feeding walkers to the pigs. So they're walker eating pigs, and then they're fattening them up and killing the pigs and then eating that for food, which for me, that's like ingenious because the disease, first of all, from what we know in The Walking Dead, everyone's already infected with the walker virus. Everyone's infected. They said that at the last episode of season one.
Yep.
So everyone's infected, so who the fuck cares? Second of all, like, you're not seeing any kind of, like, zoonotic, you know, spread. Like, it doesn't transfer over to the pigs, who then can bring it back to the people, so
hang
it's
on,
like you're getting bit.
Zoonotic?
Whatever. I've been drinking.
Well, no, is that the right term? I don't know.
I believe, yeah.
Zoonotic.
But anyways, yeah, cross species
I'm going long on the pigs.
Sorry.
I'm impressed you knew the word.
What is my degree in, Sam?
No, he's a scientist.
I'm a scientist, Sam. But no, so it doesn't cross species at all. We've already seen that because animals don't turn into zombies. We've seen them, zombies eat, well... walkers eating deer and stuff like that, so we know that it doesn't cross species at all. So to be able to feed these pigs, basically basically from the show, a never-ending supply of food, because, you know, the amount of walkers that have died, you think they would have run out by now.
Well, what's important is they're killing the zombies with the pigs, and they're, I guess they have a deal with the Saviors and Negan's crew.
Right.
So that's another thing. Yeah.
But I think that's genius. Like,
well, yeah, but
because I mean, Sam, you and John watched, like, was it Hogzilla or whatever? Or whatever it is.
About. Oh, yeah, they're pig bomb.
That's it. Where it's a big problem down south of wild boars, basically man eating wild boars. Like,
I wouldn't say that.
No, but they will eat people. They will.
They'll eat dead people.
Well, they'll eat people.
Okay.
No, they really. Pigs will eat anything. I know. And they're very vicious. So.
Bubba, run. There's one behind you.
If you've seen a pig eat a man, please call us.
Well, anyway, let's go on to the rest of the episode.
Were there pigs in that?
Yeah. Actually, pigs were about half the episode. oddly enough.
I wasn't wrong.
King Ezekiel was basically introduced, and he was pretty much putting on a show of medieval times and medieval talk and things like that. And thank God he went back to his whatever accent that was and his normal, like, pre-apocalypse speaking method, I guess. Yeah. He was a zookeeper. And thank God he started talking like that, because I don't think I could have handled King Ezekiel talking like King Ezekiel the whole fucking episode.
Dude, hang on. Why can't The Walking Dead be like a procedural show, and they just, like, go come across, like, a new weirdo, like, each day, like, each week?
I think they do. It's just not in the way you're thinking.
Remember the first two seasons of Game of Thrones where you really didn't know the world, so it's like, one week you're at one place, and then, like one week you're at the, what is it, the veil with the, like, sky door, and then the next week you're with the phrase, and you're like, what the fuck show is this?
Well, the thing is, it's Walking Dead is an hour show. It has 40 minutes of content. Thrones is an hour show. It has an hour's worth of content. Yeah. So you can do 15 minutes at the Vale and then 15 minutes at, you know, Winterfell. But in Walking Dead, it's the whole episode of
the Vale.
In this episode, Vale.
Like, that's what what kills me. It kills it for me is that they have those filler episodes.
No, but and you either like the show or you don't at this point.
Right.
So,
like I said, I think it's like Stockholm syndrome. I think you've been with it long enough. I mean, it keeps abusing you to the point where it's like, it's just a filler episode. Don't worry, in like five episodes, it'll get good again.
No, I like this episode because you can see, I still like the show, and I think it's a good show. You can actually see in this episode the inner working, like, all right, well, King Ezekiel's trying to figure something out. He's trying to get something going because he's letting Carol loose a little bit, and he's up to something. That's what it is.
What
he's up
really
to something.
Angers me about this show and kind of the followers. So I forget what website I was on, but there was a poll, and it was, who's your favorite Walking Dead villain? And I was like, well, for me, it's the governor. I liked the governor. And so I voted for the governor, and basically like 2/3 of the vote said Negan. I'm like, the guy's been in an episode. That's it. How is he
his?
But how do you consider that one of the best Walking Dead villains, like, over the guy from Terminus?
Was this a scientific poll?
Well,
the
it was
guy.
By
okay,
the people.
So here's the thing: what made Jaws so effective?
You never saw him.
You never saw it. So Negan was technically in the season before. You just never saw him. He was in the whole season. It's just you never saw him. You knew he was the leader of this crew.
Right.
The Saviors. You knew he was the leader. And then you finally got introduced to him, and then he did all this stuff. And he is the mob boss of Georgia, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that, to me, made it so effective, because you never saw him. They were hyping it up, and then now he does this. He has no shame. He has hundreds of people, it looks like, at his command. And they're all well-armed, and they are pretty much putting people into fear in order to get them whatever it is. In this case, this episode, it was pigs. That's why he right now he's my favorite. The governor, I didn't like the governor. I just for some reason I did not like the governor.
Terminus was awful.
I think they should have spent Terminus. I think they should have spent more time in Terminus.
I agree.
But
100% they should have spent more time there.
But it's, you know, it,
even if it was like a filler episode of before they got there, like to show how Terminus works.
Like, maybe
that would have helped a little bit with Terminus.
I just hated
that they built up to it and then they were like, here's an episode where half the episode they're running away.
See, here's the thing with Walking Dead. I think now it's six seasons in or seven. Excuse me, I forget what it is.
I think it's
seven. I think they're starting to, or so the comic is still going strong.
Right.
And there's no, okay, so there's no end in sight. And I think that the producers got in a room and pretty much said, okay, where do we want this to go? Because we're pushing seven, or we signed on for eight, but are we going to get to 10? You know, I think they're kind of thinking like, all right, well, we're going to end soon.
Yeah.
And then we got to figure out a way to get there. And they're going to start putting in, I bet you towards the end, like last season, there's going to be like a Thrones. It's going to be nine out of 10 exciting episodes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then there won't be any more of this filler stuff.
I don't watch the episodes, but I'm still attached in a way. Like I'll still be like, okay, what happened? And then I'll look into it. But I won't sit down and watch the episode because I don't know if it's going to be a filler or if it's going to be good.
And that's fine. And I get that it dropped a lot of people off. And I get that some people don't like.
That's the thing.
So here's the thing. If when I first started three seasons in, I said, you need to watch Walking Dead. Yeah. Season seven, you don't.
No.
You don't need to. I'm not going to recommend it. Thrones, definitely. This,
right.
No, not anymore.
Don't worry. I'll watch Thrones in like 10 years.
Let me ask you. And Sam, I'll bring you into this too. Would you watch a show where each week they all hop into the mystery machine and try to figure out if it's actually zombies or just, you know,
old
the
man
local.
Jenkins.
Right. The you know, uncreative part is that every week it's actually just zombies, but
that's a great movie. Scooby Doo on Zombie Island.
That is a good movie.
I love that one.
Where they're okay. Finally right. real.
We're going to move on from Walking Dead.
Or it could be the other way around. They could just say, oh my God, the people are the real monsters. All
right, what do we want to do, Westworld or Luke Cage?
Well, let's definitely fire up Westworld.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Westworld. John,
Mr. Rabbit Hole.
Okay, so there's like there's a lot of stuff that happened, but nothing really significant.
Actually, I have one thing to say. Okay, so when J.J. Abrams and what's his face?
John
Nolan. When they pitched this show to HBO, this episode comes to mind. Because I feel like HBO was like, okay, sounds interesting. How much nudity are you going to have? Oh, like every episode we're going to have like one pair of boobs, maybe a dick. And they're like, that's not enough. Okay, how about if we have an episode where half of it, everyone's naked and having sex.
Yeah, not only just naked, like very viciously fucking the whole time. Like,
you know what that reminded me of? Have you guys ever watched Spartacus on Showtime?
I've seen enough.
It's that show was phenomenal, by the way, but this is what it reminded me of. Everybody in one gold room,
Where I'm like, I'm watching it. And
I'm like, that's not sanitary.
This is kind of overkill right now. Like, this is like borderline, like, am I watching porn or am I watching an episode of Westworld?
No, but...
And my sister even put it so perfectly. She said, I remember as a child loving Westworld, and I'm not sure if this is the same show or my parents had a really good hand of fast-forwarding.
Yeah.
But it didn't... I don't know if you got this, but it didn't... I didn't really think about it because there's a bunch of stuff that happened at that place. You know, William and the guy were fighting, and you can tell the different direction that they want to go in.
Yeah.
But then the big thing was Dolores.
Yeah.
And her going to whatever, like the tarot cards?
The tarot cards, yeah.
Yeah, that got a little...
But that whole scene, basically the giant sex scene.
Whatever.
It was so like... But I mean, they focused on it though.
Never like, is the comment like throwaway nudity more apt for that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean,
there was literally a part where like there was a girl who had her legs spread and she was just going to town. And I'm like, how are you showing this on TV? Where it's like, it's not like it's in the background. Like it's the thing it's focused on. And she's just going to town between her legs. And I'm like, how do you show this on TV?
It's on the premium channels.
I understand.
Yeah, there's actually
that.
No real like threshold for like what goes on in those channels.
Oh, I know. But like while watching this,
Spartacus
that's
is so much worse.
Yeah, well,
it's a little bit different from Two and a Half Men, I gotta say. So,
all right, so John, what else?
Explicit sex scenes in Two and a Half Men had class.
Way worse.
They were classy.
They were classy.
Anyways, Mr. Rabbit Hole.
Yeah. So this week,
we already went over the sex scene in the Dolores.
Right. Right. I mean, that was all I was going to talk about.
So Dolores at the end. Okay, so what do you think happened at the end of the episode with Dolores? Okay, so William's getting attacked by these guys. What do you guys think happened when she kind of went into trance, took out her gun, shot five people, and then said, let's go.
Okay.
Oh, and she says something like, yeah.
No, that
you
was
are
on the train.
Who you are.
Oh yeah, I don't want to be the damsel in distress. I imagined
that's right.
A timeline where I wasn't the damsel in distress.
Right. So, what do you think that was?
I think she's programmed to do that. Like, I think she's like the original one. Like, they probably would have like put stuff in there. I think she's like fucking Neo or something.
You think
like that
was her program right there?
Yeah. So I mean, she's a robot.
So get this is what I think.
Okay.
I think she completely disconnected from this, not the server, but connection to the West world.
The story.
At that point, I think she completely disconnected.
So you think she got like sentience then? Like she's like aware of like what this
yes.
is.
Well, she's not controlled by Anthony Hopkins and the other technicians or whatever. They
right.
are.
I could see that. I think the big thing this episode was that you had
what he's talking about.
Larasso.
Yeah.
Also, a.k.a. Lawrence, a.k.a. In one storyline and seemingly another at the same time.
Yeah.
In very quick succession. It was also, by the way, some cool things because, like, Larasso means, like, lasso or, like, you know, a loose or, you know, the thing they hang you from.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of funny. Where am I going with this? So, I think, guys, this kind of proves that theory at the beginning where it's, you know, the man in black and William are the same dude.
I'm 100% behind you now.
I think so. Like, him showing up at the same time. And
wait, the man in black?
Yeah, the man
Ed
in
Harris.
Black and McPoyle.
As yeah.
I would like Ed, to Ed Harris and William, the kid, guy who plays William.
Yeah,
right.
McPoyle.
same person?
Yeah, they're the same person.
Jimmy Simpson, who almost sounds like he would be a character in the show.
Right. Here's my thing is, you know, the whole time with the man in black, when he's talking to Lawrence, he keeps saying, we're old friends,
yes.
blah, blah, blah.
And maybe in another life, he even says.
And at the end of this episode, when they get on the train and they're like, no, we'll blow it up. And he puts his thing away. He goes, looks like we're going to be good friends.
Yeah. Here's another thing too. The man in black is like intersecting.
Oh, Lawrence, not William. I said William, and you said yes. William is a different character, the one who Dolores saved with the white hat.
Yeah, him.
Right, William and Ed Harris are the same person?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Why did you mention
Why
Lawrence,
Why is my voice
though?
So high?
Well, because Lawrence is in both at the same time.
He's in both.
Seemingly,
and
at least.
The man in black keeps saying that we were best friends in another life, blah, blah, blah. Plus, they keep talking about how the white hat was William. He's he's a vice president now of a big company.
Who's going to invest in them.
In Westworld. And the man in black has a charity that everyone knows. So
right.
they're both wealthy.
Exactly.
Wait, so
I mean, everybody's wealthy.
But they're both human, though.
There's even... Oh, yeah, they're both human, yeah. So, there's even a line that Logan, who's his William's bra, who's his bro who he leaves behind and let's get the shit kicked out of him. Oh, sidebar here. So, like, robots can just fucking kick the shit out of you in this
place?
Yeah,
but they can't kill you. They
right?
can't kill you.
What's going on?
I don't... Dude, I think after a certain point, I want someone to kill me before they kick the shit out of me.
It's the element of danger, though. That's how I look at it.
Right. And they do talk about, like, we don't want to give you more than you can handle.
Wait,
so
do you think Logan, then, is Anthony Hopkins?
No.
No.
Logan,
I think William probably fucking kills Logan in Westworld.
Yeah.
Like, these don't seem like people who coexist for a while.
Maybe. What do you think about that scene between Ed Harris? Oh,
that was great.
That was great,
right?
When
Anthony Hopkins is like only in like legit scenes.
Yeah. Every episode he becomes more Hannibal Lecter ish.
Yeah,
right. Like, he becomes more evil every time you see him,
but like a good evil.
We're not like, a good evil.
I love his character.
Love it, but I think he's bad in the show.
No, but he's protecting his baby. That's how I look at it. Like he's a mother protecting his child.
Which is Westworld.
Which is Westworld. Westworld is his child. It's the world he created.
Life, right.
Yeah, it's his life. This is his world. So you come in and threaten it, he's gonna attack you.
Yeah.
He's gonna everything he possibly can. And the whole scene where like Ed Harris like takes out the knife. And what's his face?
And they know each other.
Yeah,
you know?
Like yeah. Grabs the knife and sticks it into the ground. And he's like, oh, I cut my hand wide open.
Which makes me think that he's Arnold.
No, because he keeps talking about Arnold.
Yeah, and he
keeps saying that Arnold's dead.
Here's what, in my mind, is the biggest reason why these are two different storylines. Okay, how many people has the Man in Black essentially crossed paths with? Tom Ford, who's Anthony Hopkins, they've come across that little kid who Anthony Hopkins came across, mm-hmm. which, I mean, obviously, I guess that's established. It's the same time, but we'll look past that. He's come across the brother Hemsworth chilling around because he was the one when they talked about the charges.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, let that off. And then he makes that other comment of like, that guy, you know, don't bother him. And then he's been around in some other shit, too. But the other storyline, though, you don't really see people you've seen elsewhere. Oh, and Maeve, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
In that flashback.
She's like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Maeve wakes up.
Right.
Remember, she sits. I thought that dude was going to get stabbed because he's being all doofusy and looking up at the arms open, looking up at the bird that flying around.
Which I feel like that guy's a robot.
Right. I got that
the way
too.
He was talked to by the other guy, yep. I feel where he was like, this is what you're destined for. This is all you're going to be. All that stuff. I think he's a robot.
And he made a weird comment, too, about like, this is like your genes or something like that. We'd have
to
change.
Yeah, you were
born
to do this.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
It's either he's like a robot or like there's, you know. We've kind of touched a little bit on like what's the macro world around this show. Like, is this on another planet or something like that? I'm not even going to get into that. But like, maybe there's some other sort of level here where it's like, not only is this like a weird, crazy West Park or whatever, but like they're starting to like engineer people or something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it was awesome how Maeve just sats up. The bird sits on a finger and she's like, we need to talk.
And that was so crazy.
That was awesome. That was awesome. And then Dolores at the end of the episode, she's on the train and then she said to herself, or I'm assuming to Arnold.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm on my way or I'll see you soon or something like that.
And she keeps talking to Arnold, which is strange. And
she lied to Anthony Hopkins about that.
Right. So here's the thing. If they're on two different timelines, maybe Arnold's still alive in that timeline.
Yeah,
and
because
she's actually talking to Arnold. Maybe. And at the end, we're going to see Arnold.
Because here's what gives this, I think, a little bit of credence. I think they mention at two different points that one, Ed Harris says something like, you know, 30 years ago, or, you know, I've been coming to this park for like 30 years. And I think they mentioned, again, 30 years ago is when all the shit happened with Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Ed Harris meets him.
Yeah. Like
maybe they actually go to meet him in this whole thing.
And then Dolores is behind it all. And then all this stuff you see in the modern stuff, like Jeffrey Wright talking to her and stuff like that. That's all her post the whole Arnold situation.
Is that woman technician, the woman technician who like found the probe in the arm?
Right.
Is she just cannon fodder? Because she really feels like she's just going to
like
get
she
killed
could,
for
yeah,
no reason
like
at
she's,
some point.
But... I mean, she's human. There's no denying that. She's human. But I think she's there to help us understand that Jeffrey Wright is a robot. Because she keeps going
you guys
to Jeffrey.
All on this one.
Oh, he's a robot.
And to make dick jokes. Although we really didn't get anything else compounding that this week, but that Jeffrey Wright's a robot.
Yeah.
Nope.
But he's definitely a robot.
All right,
I don't think so.
Where are we at right now, Sean? Two different storylines.
Two different storylines.
Yes, Chris, where are you at with this?
I think they're one storyline.
Okay. Well, I guess taking place at two different times.
I think it's one storyline.
Okay.
I don't think William is Ed Harris.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think.
And then if he's Ed Harris, and I think if one is the other, like they're either both right or both wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm wondering. Because
I think when he turns bad too and shoots those guys, like that's made to felt like.
Yeah.
Like that's something. His
turn to the dark side kind of thing. Logan is Ed Harris.
I don't think Logan's Ed Harris. I think he fucking killed Logan. I swear to God.
Could be the other way around. Could be the black hat from the start.
Yeah, but you have the two actors. It's like, which one's the more noticeable? Like, who's the known person?
And it doesn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A lot of these actors and actresses are not known.
A lot of them.
No, I mean, they totally do head fakes, too. By the way, it is kind of funny that Jimmy Simpson is, in this case, a white hat cowboy, and is also, if you guys watch House of Cards at all, a white hat hacker. Just, and which I think calls himself that. So,
do we want to move on?
Yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah. I mean,
guys, I got to take. I think Norman's mother's dead, and he's a crossdresser.
I don't. What is this?
Psycho.
Really, we're getting into a Bates Motel, Sam.
No, Sam. Sam and I are going to get into.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I get to talk about something. I don't watch Walking Dead.
It's been like three or four weeks.
I have been insanely busy working on my Deadshot costume for Halloween, which is on Facebook. Sure. Slash all these other shows. Okay.
But
so,
Luke Cage.
I'm
just going to sit back. I won't say anything. I might go take a whiz.
Okay.
Just.
So stop talking. Just go.
Avoid all these spoilers for me, because eventually
you'll watch it. All right.
Can I just give you my Diamondback takes
for like
the episode or two that I saw he was in? So I did watch a couple.
Well,
more.
He's only in three. So.
Oh, okay. So maybe
three
that's
or four.
He's more than that.
Well, after Cottonmouth died.
Yeah.
I think
all of them. After.
I think Cottonmouth death was episode seven, six or seven.
It was like halfway.
It was more than halfway.
It was like an extra like five or six after comma thighs.
All right,
anyway, I thought the guy who plays Diamondback was like great.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? yeah, he was.
I thought that he was cool.
Now, we talked about how it was wicked slow and you struggled, but after Cottonmouth, when Diamondback was in it, it picked up, right?
Yeah, so I literally started watching Luke Cage again. I mean, poor planning on my part. I'll be honest with you. Last night, 2 hours before the Cubs game, and then I started just watching that, and then that was 10 hours long, so that's why I didn't watch Luke Cage. But the two episodes I saw were great, and I will honestly go back and watch them at some point.
Okay. All right, so...
Making endorsement.
So, to finish... we're probably going to spoil it if you're staying in the room, but I don't know if you want that.
I can go get some water.
But it was, you know, it was a good series.
Well, yeah,
overall,
I enjoyed
right?
the hell out of it.
Yeah, you love this one the best out of everything so far.
Yeah, like, I gave up on Daredevil.
You gave up, okay.
Like in the halfway of the first season, because it just felt so like generic and uninspiring or anything. Like it just felt like I know where this is going. Like, it's not like with Luke Cage, I didn't know where it was going, but it was like, I want to follow this journey.
Yeah,
I want to see where we get. Whereas, like, with Daredevil, it felt generic. Like,
well, the thing is, you know the character. You know Daredevil.
Yeah,
Luke Cage,
yeah.
not so much.
I don't know Luke Cage that well.
So, how did you like the Diamondback costume?
It was the last episode
that we put on the suit to actually fight Luke Cage.
I'm assuming that was a reference to the comics.
It was. He looked exactly like the comic.
Because I was like looking at that, I'm like, that looks like it's straight out of the 70s.
Yeah, it is. But the suit itself was Hammer Tech. Mm-hmm. And if you remember Iron Man 2, Hammer was the guy who built all the...
Hammer Tech was also the Judas Bullets.
Yes, and the Judas Bullets. So glad to see the references to that. You loved it. Did you like the way it was filmed? I loved the way it was filmed.
Oh, yeah. It was filmed really well.
Like we said before, it was all thought out. Every single shot was thought out.
Here's something. The final fight between Luke Cage and Diamondback, did you feel like that was just like really anticlimactic?
Yes.
I was just going to ask you.
It was. It was very non...
It just like felt like two like drunk guys beating each other up
exactly.
in the street. And everybody's just standing around like, do it.
Yeah, right?
Do it!
I don't know what would have made that scene better. I really don't. I'm trying to think of... But the thing is, Luke Cage is a street guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was fitting that it finished off in the street, but
yeah, like outside of Pop's barbershop.
Yeah,
so like that was a perfect place for it. But it was just like after seeing him like storm Christmas attics and just like tear that place to shit, and then like we get to this one where he's just like, and then like they throw him against a car just to remind you they're throwing tough punches.
Yeah, and you're right though. It was anticlimactic. It was like, I don't think it was as good as it. I guess it was as good as it could have been. I just was expecting more.
And that weird flashback where they're back when they were still friends and like
Training at the gym. Training and everything. At the
gym because he wants to like beat that kid up who like insulted him or beat him up or something.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I didn't need that flashback.
Yeah, yeah, that was
we already knew that it was all from his backstory. This was his brother.
Yeah,
you know, stepbrother. But you know, like we said before, it was a 10 episode season. That was kind of
a good line where the episode at the very end when Diamondback's hunting him all across the city. He's like, "I loved you like a brother," and he's like, "One word I can't say, but
yeah,
I am your brother."
Yeah,
it was just like, oh. It's actually a pretty good line.
It was. I think you thought this way, that it was too long for 10 episodes. It could have fit perfectly.
It could have cut down a bit.
It could have fit perfectly into 8. 7 would have been okay, but it would have fit perfectly into 8. So are you excited for more?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm excited for The Defenders, which is the next time we see Luke Cage.
Yes.
And I said before, I wouldn't mind him being in the movies. I wouldn't mind seeing Luke Cage beat up a bunch of aliens.
Right? Definitely. Definitely. Now, the thing with the show is I didn't like the fact that there was a lot of leftovers. So those cast members are probably going to be in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like that. There was one that we... that we just were gone. And then everything else was...
Yeah.
They're going to roll it over again.
Well, yeah, they need to like keep it going.
So. I know, but I didn't like half the cast. Or I didn't like the idea of keeping half of them. Can you put who's unwrapping something?
That's John. I don't know why. Sorry, we have Twizzlers.
Was it Mariel, the counselor? Is that her name, Mariel?
Yeah, she's not. She got arrested.
No, yeah, but like, did you like...
Oh, no, Shade.
No, she left with Shade.
She left with Shade.
But, like, did you like her character arc? Like, I kind of like that where, like, just as it was going on, she's, like, is becoming the thing she's trying to avoid. She's trying to become prevent her be, like, Mama.
Mama Mabel.
Mama Mabel. She just doesn't want to be Mama Mabel. No. In the end, she's Mama Mabel.
So, it's, I was good for her arc for the first season, and that was it. I don't want any more of that. I like the idea of, in the end, with Diamondback. I like the idea of that with the doctor.
Oh yeah,
and that was cool.
I don't know. I could have gone with Diamondback just dying off.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have fit. It would have fit
either way. Like you have Mariel. Who, you know, I'm fine with her being the villain.
Yeah. And did you see at the end also how what's her face, the night nurse, Rosario Dawson, picked up the kickboxing stub?
No, I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice it? She was walking down the street, and then she looked at a telephone. Or was it Misty Knight? I don't know. I forget. One of those two.
Probably Misty Knight.
One of those two was walking by a telephone pole, and it had kickboxing classes, pull a tab, call this number.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was the martial arts for Iron Fist.
Woo. Oh, so she's so they're an Iron Fist.
Well, I mean, Rosario Dawson, I think, is the key to keeping these together.
Yeah. Are you saying they're all in the same universe?
Oh, God. Go away.
Whoa, man.
All right. So we're excited for more. Defenders is next. I think that's going to be great.
Iron Fist is next.
Then Defenders.
I'm not that excited for Iron Fist. That seems kind of generic-y as well.
Sam, it could be like a martial arts. Like,
I think it's going to be more action
if it goes on to like the theme of like 70s like Hong Kong.
I feel like it is, though.
Like, okay, I'm up for that.
Yeah, I think it is.
Because I was all about the blaxploitation thing route that they took.
Right.
But we're excited for Luke Cage again.
I want to see more Luke Cage.
I want you to watch the others so we can actually rank them. And I want you guys to finish so we can rank which ones. Because I have my ranking of Netflix shows and on all that shit.
I honestly have no reason like why I don't watch Jessica Jones. It seems interesting.
If you like Luke Cage, you'll like Jessica Jones a lot.
I'd like it.
Jessica Jones is very dark.
Your least favorite will be Daredevil. If you said you couldn't even finish it, you'll like Jessica Jones.
It just felt so generic.
Yeah, you'll like Jessica Jones. Really
you'll
good.
Like Jessica Jones. Here's the thing. Everybody that I know so far is either liked the Jessica Jones Luke Cage over Daredevil or Daredevil over either.
I like them all the same.
Or him.
They're all my
or children. Sean. All right. All right. You know. So we went we did that. Do we have time for news? Or do we want to do a quick 4 minute news?
Maybe some rapid fire news?
Rapid fire news.
Pew pew.
Uwe Boll.
Sorry, Sam.
Retired.
Yeah.
Calling it quits because he doesn't like the process and it takes too long. And he can barely get any movies.
He's holding out, dude.
I wonder why.
Yep.
I have no idea
why. Director of Alone in the Dark.
What
is
that word?
In the
Name of the King.
Blood Rain 1 through 3.
Blood Rain, yep.
Far Cry. In the Name of the King 2 through 2 and 3. He didn't do 1.
He didn't do 1? I thought he did 1.
Assault on Wall Street. And Rampage retires because filmmaking and financing, producing, directing, writing all take too much time, which is fine because that's a lot of work.
All people who are going to hire you, Bull, hire me instead. Yeah. I'll do it gladly.
Yep. And you won't fight the people who criticize you.
Oh, God. Please.
All the criticism. Okay.
So, criticism. All the criticism my way.
Yeah,
please.
I did a terrible job.
Let's start.
Oh, darn.
Let's keep going with rapid fire. Fantastic Beasts is on track for the lowest box office.
Yay.
In the Harry Potter series.
People don't know it's Harry Potter.
Except it's not Harry Potter.
It's in the same universe.
It's not the series, it's in the universe, but they're considering it as part of the series. People
so,
need to
yeah,
understand
but we
that
consider
it's not.
Rogue One is part of Star Wars. Same thing. It's not, but it is.
But it has Darth Vader in it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Voldemort's like, hey.
Yeah, they don't, as far as I know,
beasts,
they don't have
so
any
fantastic.
References to Harry Potter.
But where do I find them?
Seriously, when we see the movie, we'll see if it's actually part of the Harry Potter series, because if they actually have a character from the movies, then I'll consider it. But at this time, I don't think it is. And you just have to, I mean, come on. Is it going to make money? Yes. Just let it go. It's not going to break records. All right, next.
Are people really like surprised by this? That it's tracking so well?
The article I was reading was saying that people were surprised. I'm like,
I hate the fucking internet. I just got to say this. Like, right. I see so many
John, that's our market.
This is just me.
The internet sucks. Find us on the internet.
Yeah, it's probably me being on Twitter too much, but you see all these fucking stories out there that are in no way surprising or new or interesting. And they're like, I mean, I don't know. This is maybe too abstract for this podcast, but.
Yep. That's a tip. That's a John topic for another week.
All right. Big question. There we go. Big John.
All right. So, yeah. Deadpool director. Left the project.
I'm happy.
So there were creative differences. So
yes.
According to sources, Ryan Reynolds and the writers were on the same page regarding the next movie, and director Tim Miller was not. Because it was such a hit, the studio wanted to pile money into it. The director wanted to go big budget, big explosions, big scenes. And Ryan Reynolds and the writers wanted to stay more of what they did originally, low budget. Focus on script, make sure it's good, do low cost, things like
then,
that.
Then who's the director that he wanted? Tim Miller wanted a certain guy for Cable. Forget who it was.
I'm not going to. That's
basically what was like really set all this off is he wanted, I forget what the actor's name is, but.
What was he in?
I forget.
Don't just. Yeah, there's so many rumors for. I'm not. Gonna,
No. But Tim Miller really wanted this guy, and no one else wanted him, and he pushed incredibly hard for him, and so now that Tim Miller's gone, they need to cast Cable still, and they're like, I guess everybody's happy because the guy that he wanted, like, no chance this guy was Cable.
I don't think that was the reason.
No, it wasn't. It was creative differences. It was between the big budget.
It had to have been the big budget.
But it was also casting Cable because he had his own people in mind. This is what I read. I mean, everything is speculation at this point.
There's so many rumors with cast. It's far from casting, so it's not.
Right.
Either way, I mean, I think it was the budget, mainly because where is he going? What is he doing next? Does anybody know?
Yeah.
What movie is he directing next?
Tim Miller
left his project, and he's going to direct a new movie.
Is this Miller and Lord guy, the Lego movie guy?
No.
Okay, this is different.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, God, no.
Yep.
Terrible.
So, and
Sam, what do you feel about these Sonic the Hedgehog theories about Tails? Do you get into that?
Like what about
Tails?
Fucking,
or? All right.
What about Miles?
We're going to move on.
We're doing rapid fire news here.
This is the kind of thing where, like, if Sam knew, we could riff, but.
Okay, yeah. Another.
We'll come back to you.
Another director who left Flashes, Rick.
Yep.
Famuyiwa?
Yeah, that guy.
What's Flashes?
The Flash director.
The movie. Right?
Oh.
So, yeah, the movie.
Yeah.
The Flash, you know, Justice League, Batman.
You know, it is kind of dumb they're doing two different ones.
So they're doing...
Like, why are you coming out with another fucking movie?
Wait, what?
Why is it different? No, like
between the TV show and the movie?
Like, I don't know why. We've talked about this 1,000 times, but now I suddenly agree with you.
Right?
Like, why is it a different one? Like, yeah. What? Why we need to... I don't know. All
right, well, either way, the news was out. This director left.
Good.
They're going on their third.
Yeah.
Well, so this movie is going to be pushed
has
out
already
back.
Pushed,
yeah.
Aquaman has
they've
left
one director, and then they've pushed it back.
And then Flash has lost two so far.
And they're going to push it back.
And the movies have been destroyed by half the fans and all of the media. Like, or all the people who...
And
like,
they still... It's just funny because they still made money. Yeah.
But it's not to say that... I honestly, like, everybody kept saying, like, oh, Suicide Squad was, like, that's the thing that... And I really think it's Wonder Woman. And like I said, with that...
I think that's the test.
I think that's the test.
I think that would be the test.
That's the one, because if Wonder Woman flops, I mean, all that's really left is Batman at that point.
And I think they'd have to just cancel everything else, see how Batman does. Yeah. And that's it.
Which I'm fine with. I'm excited for Batman. Like, I've said that in the past. I think we're all excited for Ben Affleck's
that
Batman.
And the fact that it's actually finally announced and they started working on it. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Wonder Woman, like I said, with that that letter, the letter to all.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they said Wonder Woman was... And who... John, you said your friend went to go
no,
see?
No, my,
or
one of my friends works at a research.
And he said it was terrible.
He or she said yes, it was.
Oh, sorry, he or she.
I don't want
to. I don't know the gender. I just
they said it wasn't
reason.
Terrible. They said they struggled to find the balance that Marvel does in their movies with comedy, action, and suspense, drama, things like that. So that's that. We'll worry about Flash later, but it's postponed not indefinitely, but it's pushed back
until they
again.
Find a director.
Yep. And last thing, I saw this on Instagram: Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson dressed up as. Khloe Kardashian and
I know who
the
that
basketball
is.
Player, but dressed up as Halloween as Black Panther and Storm. Okay. Fun fact: in the comics, those two are a love interest,
right?
And it makes me think: which one is the comic fan, Tristan Thompson or Khloe Kardashian?
You really
just
funny.
Asked that.
Well
I mean,
see.
who's Which one's the comic fan? I don't know.
I'm assuming
clue.
I'm assuming the black guy dressed as the black guy and the white girl dressed as the black girl.
Well, it was just interesting to see.
I'm gonna go with that he's the comic book fan
she
at that point.
Didn't do blackface, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't
I
see.
No, she didn't.
Okay.
Because like the Kardashians sure act black, but they white. Day white bitches. So.
And on that note.
Yeah, on that note, we're going to get off of this before Sean really goes off on this. So,
Sean, take off that hood.
Right now we have, Jesus. All right. Well, right now, quickly, we're going to move on to big topics with Big John to finish off the episode.
All right.
John's topic, racism.
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy. He's got his own music.
And we got music. Oh, I know what this is.
Well, yeah.
Space.
God damn it, Sean. Space. The topic.
Hey, is it next gen?
Yes.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I just like that. It's going to take 4 minutes till you get the first word.
Ah, I just love that. All right, guys.
Then you need the late 80s, early 90s montage of all the people like, ha ha, like freeze frame.
All right.
They didn't do that. That would have been great. Okay, guys.
Answer this.
Here's why I brought you all here today.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was for a podcast, but you know.
Now, so what brought this up is that we got a new trailer that dropped this week for the movie. It's called Life.
Yes.
With
starring Jake Gyllenhaal
and Ryan Reynolds,
Rebecca Ferguson, and Ryan Reynolds.
So it's another space movie. What did he know? There's been a lot of space movies, guys. There's two big ones.
To be specific, it's like modern space travel.
Yeah,
right.
Like not like Star Wars.
Gravity, Interstellar.
So what are we? Right. What are we discussing here?
Is space back?
Yes,
without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Elon Musk being like, I'm going to Mars.
The fact that there's interest in exploring space again, finally, which is awesome, because I don't know why that died down at all. It shouldn't have. We should always be focused.
Sean, it was the 70s. Everyone was doing crazy stuff.
No, but I think I'm going with Sam. It's a lot of practical space.
Yeah.
Let me go over the list. I actually wrote this down.
Oh, awesome. Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
I got this down.
When did it start?
Okay. So you can put a question mark on 1995's with Apollo 13. You also if you even go further, you have like 2001 Space Odyssey, which was the next one. But the newer movies.
We're talking like we're getting like two or three or five a year. How far
if
back
if you factor
does that
into
go?
These, so you have I'll go 2013 with Gravity.
Yes, I think that was the start.
Yeah, I think that would have been the start. Even though I didn't like that movie, that I think would be the start. 2014 was Interstellar. Mm-hmm. Also didn't like that movie. But but it was it was more of a practical space travel, you know?
Right. It wasn't sci-fi. I mean, we've been having Star Trek and Star Wars movies up the butt for the last 50 years
right.
here.
So you have 2016 Rogue One, 2016 Star Trek Beyond. You have 2013 was After Earth, and that was a fantasy sci-fi.
That doesn't even count either.
2009 was animated Avatar.
Animated?
You
mean just Avatar?
Avatar. Elysium and Ender's Game was also 2013, but it was more of one of those like sci-fi fantasy type of worlds.
See, I'm not
Elysium.
Those don't count.
I would consider it Elysium
I would more say like Elysium's more of like a social commentary sci-fi,
right?
Yeah,
like something theme of like Gravity.
Even though it technically takes place in. Part of it takes place in space or low orbit.
Yeah,
like,
it's more of
it's closer to Blade Runner than like
right.
But you have those movies that aren't really practical,
right? It's I guess what I'm saying is we've had this great run here now, which I think starts
I have the
as
rest
you,
of them
as you well. I think it's because it starts with Gravity, then it's Interstellar, then it's The Martian,
2015.
And then this year we've got Arrival, which isn't necessarily a space movie, but it is about aliens. And it's not an
apocalyptic alien.
We haven't had a serious alien movie in a while.
And right. it's very serious. It's very like
Close Encounters, Contact. Yeah.
How is this actually going to go down?
Yeah. Right. And then you also have in December, you have Passengers with
Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt.
Please,
and Chris Pratt.
J-Law.
Fucking space.
And that is more practical. You're traveling and you're in space.
How
you're in
space travel would work.
How it would work. Also, this year we said Arrival. We discussed that already.
There's 1,000 alien prequels, sequels, requels in development.
Yep.
And shooting.
Well, here's what I think with the whole like space renaissance, I would say.
Ooh. I like that.
Yeah. So the space renaissance here, I'm not considering these sci-fi action / horrors like the Alien movies, the Predator movies. Arrival's pushing it because it's not played out like an action movie, but it's still aliens come
to almost
Earth.
Independence Day.
Almost like Independence Day, but that had more action
from what
it looks like in the film.
I don't know. The first like 45 minutes there of Prometheus is like
before it switches
is like really good. And right. I think that's a movie that like found itself and it ended up being for the worse.
Yeah.
Like the opening and like the setup is way better than what actually ends up happening.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. But the whole like space renaissance, I will give it to Gravity because that's when people started noticing these space movies.
I think movies like Gravity and like Martian have shown movies like this can make money.
Like
which means the studios are more willing to be like,
it's one
oh
of
yeah,
those,
let's make these.
It's one of those situations where So these movies aren't action driven. So they're more of a drama.
Martian, not comedy.
Not comedy.
I would say comedy for the Martian.
Stress that one. Not comedy. No, I mean the. You know.
Yeah, best Martian was like a dramedy, but like
right. I mean, there's comedy involved, but I'm talking about these straight dramas about space exploration, sci-fi dramas, and that's the renaissance that I'm seeing. I mean, we've had Star Wars for a while, we've had Star Trek for a while. Those I don't count because actions.
Is Star Wars about space?
No,
I don't think so.
It's a story that takes place in space.
Star Wars is more of like a traditional fantasy story, but they moved it to space.
That's set in space. Yes, yeah, I would say that.
It's not like a movie about space.
Yeah. Right.
So I like the truth in the facts in some of these movies. So yeah. The Martian was very factual based.
Gravity was kind of.
I don't get how she could fly through space from one space station to the Chinese ship and then land it. But
whatever.
They did that, and it's kind of based on a truth.
Yeah.
You know, this could happen, and this is how it would happen.
And Interstellar was very like kind of 2001-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
2000 Where? for those who haven't actually seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I was you a month and a half ago, and you like I didn't realize like literally Interstellar is almost I don't want to say a remake, but it's such a spiritual sequel to 2001.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Yep.
And I mean it's then I saw like a trivia like and inside 2001 on IMDb is like this is Christopher Nolan's favorite movie. Oh no shit.
Yeah.
So let me finish off the list here. There's a few movies that are still coming out. In December, we have The Space Between Us. It's about a child who was born on Mars and has a pen pal on Earth.
Ooh.
And he travels back to Earth. And then they try and find, and they become friends, and then they try and find out, you know, where he came from and why he was raised this way.
Okay.
So that would be cool. And if they really stick to it, I mean, there are a lot of implications. If he's raised on Mars, the gravity is different. His bones would be different when he lands. And they imply that something health problems are going to happen with him.
We're forgetting two famous Disney movies here in this list. John Carter and Mars Needs Moms.
Okay. So on those, we're going to skip over that. In February, we have, I don't know if, okay, so here it's J.J. Abrams. It's his God Particle movie. It's Cloverfield 3, but I don't know
if
that's
Cloverfield 3?
It said it's part of the universe, but I don't know. So I just put it on the list. I don't really know if that's true. However, the God Particle is something in science.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to be really space oriented or not.
Can I just say, the new Cloverfield, I mean, it was great. Loved it. John Goodman was amazing in that movie. As for it being part of the Cloverfield universe, confused the shit out of me.
Did it feel like a script that already existed, and they're like, "Oh, we got to work this into the Cloverfield."
No. See how I felt with it. So you watch Cloverfield, and there's so many questions about where this monster came from. We're pretty sure it came from that asteroid thing. Was it 10 Cloverfield Lane? It's like there's a whole alien like invasion going on, and it's not the Cloverfield monster. It's a full-on alien invasion. And I'm like, that's not what I got out of Cloverfield. I just got the giant monster. So it confused the crap out of me.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, though. But
I think I saw something where they're not really... It's not supposed to be like a straight-up sequel or like in the same... Like,
it is, but it's not.
Yeah, which it's weird. Is also sort of weird.
And this is God Particle, right?
Well, then that if God Particle would be
the
third
kind
one.
Of instance.
I'm assuming,
okay,
because I'm very like it's confusing because in the first one, it's like you don't know much about the monster. So when I went into 10 Cloverfield Lane, I was like, maybe they're gonna describe the monster in a little bit more detail. But then there were like these giant floating orb things and like. There were tons of like strange things, and
just don't ruin the movie for me.
No, this isn't even the actual movie. Watch it; it is an excellent movie. John Goodman is terrifyingly amazing.
Okay,
loved it.
All right, and then the final movie is John mentioned it already was Life in 2017. It takes place on a space station that does scientific experiments, and it looks like they catch a flying debris
from Mars.
Was it from Mars?
Yes.
Okay, but either way, they catch that, and then there's biological life on it.
There's life. Who knew?
And then it looks like
it's kind of like Alien.
Yeah, they basically described it. They took heavily from, like, inspired heavily from Alien.
Which I don't care. I'll see Alien.
But
again.
It doesn't make sense, but there is some kind of truth to it. Maybe not the thing flying from Mars, or maybe it is a piece of equipment that flew back from Mars. Yeah. But the idea that, you know, it's going to be this little, like, single cell organism that might transform into something else,
right?
Like a parasite taking
over. Well, in the trailer, you know? The guy gets attacked by it. So yeah. I can assume it takes over his body. That's a parasite.
But it,
so he becomes,
and there's
the
some
monster.
Kind of conflict going on between Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal, because they have that scene where he shuts the door.
Something might happen. But I'm with you. Space is back.
No,
and
space
I am
is definitely back.
So pumped. Space is back.
I am too.
Yeah, just need to actually start putting money into.
There's two great genres of sci-fi I always enjoy. Space is one of them. The other is monsters.
Like good space though. It has to be good space.
Well, yeah.
Like, as a reader, I'm a huge fan of hard science fiction. Like, one of my favorite authors is Isaac Asimov. And that's, like, his whole thing was just hard science fiction.
So that
Super
was all
hard.
Well, no, that was all, like, all the scientific evidence. That was all the scientific evidence and stuff that proved how things would work and really do things would work, right?
Yeah, but, like...
Trying to figure out what the real future is where people have tobacco pouches still, but live underground.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I think...
Missed a couple stuff.
People are rolling their own cigarettes while they're, you know, getting into their light-traveling orbs.
Yeah,
I
think we're all in the same boat that space is back. Like it's
dude,
a thing again.
I'm with you guys.
100%. Like I said,
if they want to get into other parts of
and you know fiction. You know what is also entertaining for me, and it does like kind of push aside space, but the fact that monsters are coming back too, like big monsters, like kaiju movies, like Godzilla actually doing well, the American Godzilla being good. King Kong Skull Island coming out soon. Like the fact that kaiju are coming back, and I contribute Pacific Rim with that one. The fact that
we can have a separate kaiju discussion.
Oh, I agree. But
are kaiju back?
Are kaiju back?
We're gonna throw this into the topic.
I feel
of, like the box of your wyvern.
I feel
nobody's gonna talk about it anymore.
But I feel like sci-fi, like the good things about sci-fi are coming back. I mean, there's no denying that.
What you're seeing is like a lot of you've had a lot of successful, just, you know, ordinary run of the mill sci-fi movies,
right?
Especially with the superhero movies.
Oh God.
So
yeah.
Studios are like looking at this going, okay, maybe we can go a little bit deeper into the genre.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go more like with like you're saying with Arrival, where it's a far more dramatic rather than action-based, although I haven't seen it yet.
You know
but.
What?
And I don't mean to bring it back to the realm of 2001, but, like, before that movie, movies about space and stuff were sort of, like,
B-movies.
Pulpy and B-movies. They weren't serious movies.
Yeah.
And that was so great about what Kubrick did is that he made it so, like, oh, you can tell interesting stories, too.
Yeah,
and they're not just, you know... I mean, guys, we love Independence Day for what it is, but, like, let's be real. Like,
you could do better than that.
It's
right.
not
yeah.
real. Yeah. I think the fact that... I love the idea that studios are putting these movies out and they're making money, and I like that it's kind of spilling out into the public. The public is more interested in this now. So go on MSN.
Oh yeah.
And on the right hand side, you'll see, you know, new thing discovered. I mean, we landed on Mars. A robot landed on fucking Mars. And
okay.
Doing shit.
To be specific,
one crash.
We landed an SUV on Mars.
Okay.
That was the Curiosity.
Yeah. But
it was
either
an
way,
SUV
I mean,
with a nuclear reactor in
but
it.
But they found ice particles.
And they decided to give it a jetpack for some reason. But the thing is,
you go on MSN and there's space and space stuff. Like pictures,
yeah, that's awesome.
We found a new solar system, all this other stuff.
But the thing is, and I have you partly Hollywood, partly Musk. You have to thank him, sadly.
I think Hollywood touches more people than Musk.
No, yeah. but no Musk, pun intended. Musk being like,
I think like
being
Musk,
Elon
helps.
Musk we're talking
yeah,
about.
We're talking about Elon Musk.
Not the smell.
But the fact that he is so interested and gung-ho about space
and doesn't really care how, like, if this turns a profit, or at least he's long right. enough view that this is something that, and once it gets going, like,
the thing is,
you know,
it's not just Musk. Like, yeah, he's like the face of like
right.
SpaceX,
right,
right.
But it's like he's got a huge number of other backers from Silicon Valley.
Right. No, I mean, Jeff Bezos, the guy who's the Amazon guy, essentially, he has his own company that does the same sort of deal, yeah. or is trying to at least be the same sort of deal.
But that's the thing where right now we have Hollywood who's interested, and we have real world
and
who's
I like,
interested.
And
that helps out big time.
And I think that the thing would benefit more is if whatever appealed to the younger kids. So, like, that's Hollywood, right. I think, personally.
But,
because they see these
yeah,
movies and
they
get excited
about it. They don't care
about,
like, a bunch of Silicon
yeah,
Valley
they don't
executives.
Care.
Right.
But
right.
those Silicon Valley executives can inspire, like, Hollywood execs and,
right.
like, writers
yeah.
and
then
directors.
The kids
and
will want to be
remember,
movies and astronauts and
just
engineers
remember,
and things like
two
that.
2 years ago, what movie won Best Picture?
2014?
Gravity.
It was... Yeah. No.
No. What was it? What was it 2 years ago? Gravity
won. 12 Years a Slave.
Interstellar was
oh,
on.
Was yeah. that 12 Years a Slave? Okay.
I think
so,
it was.
Interstellar
was.
Gravity won a bunch of awards.
It did win awards. Yeah.
The year after, you had Birdman, which was a superhero movie.
Sure.
Well, I mean,
no, it did.
No, it's just
no,
really,
yeah.
it's really cool that.
It's telling you where the viewership is going.
Yeah. And then last year, Mad Max won a ton. It's just awesome that sci-fi, like, this
is becoming
it's
adult.
Becoming a yeah, it's an adult thing. It's not just for kids
Which
anymore.
Nerds right. are becoming popular now.
Yeah, I love it, and that brings us back to why
that,
we started this podcast.
They're not just becoming popular; they're becoming more mature. You're
I thought we started this podcast to disconnect from the pile of shit that was considered the presidential election.
Almost a year ago, it wasn't at this point, but.
It was good.
That seemed very like rehearsed too. I know. Like you like delivered it. Like,
well, I had
you
to
rehearsed
make sure.
it several times in the mirror this morning.
I said
something.
It. I
you,
said
you
it.
You had that line
today.
Cocked and ready. All yeah. right.
I
don't
did.
Feel authentic.
Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong.
Am I wrong?
Because for what an hour before we cut this podcast, we were talking about the election. So
yeah,
God, that was
it. Got very talk radio.
Yeah, we're not gonna do. Political discussions.
No,
so.
We won't.
One thing you also have to talk about is you were talking about him earlier, even though you didn't remember him. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, I remember his name. It's just I didn't figure.
But like him and like Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Just the work they've done to try to like translate science for people.
My only issue with Neil deGrasse Tyson, I mean, he's a great, great guy, wonderful personality, great for science. I wish he wasn't such like a. I think media whore is such a bad term, but I feel like
that's kind of his job, though.
Right? No, I
he's
agree.
He's taking on the mantle.
He's
of,
right.
He's the science guy.
Yeah, yep. he's taking on the
he's,
mantle.
He's the
of,
new Bill
I'm Hunt. Going to communicate this to
With,
you,
to, not just to you, but to average Joes.
Yeah, who don't have degrees.
Somebody,
and stuff.
You know, but the people who want to make that leap, like myself, who don't know a lot about that stuff,
right.
but need like, that.
Yeah.
We can't go right into it, you know, astrophysics.
The 90s was nice because that was Bill Nye, but he did it on such a small level because the internet wasn't a huge thing as it is today.
Have you guys seen The New Cosmos?
No.
I have not.
No.
It's on Netflix, though. I know that.
It's really good.
Yeah, I have heard.
There's one Seth MacFarlane, like,
produced.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Another science guy, I guess.
Yeah,
let's get into the science.
You can tell from, you know, Ted. A movie with Mark Wahlberg. Has Mark Wahlberg been in space?
Yeah.
He's in a Mars movie, isn't he?
What is he in that prison movie?
Is it Mission to Mars?
No. He might be. But
Red
no,
Planet?
Planet of the Apes.
That doesn't count.
That does
count. It was Earth.
He wasn't.
It starts. No, it starts in space.
Oh,
I
saw this battle or war of the Planet of the Apes is coming in like 2018.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Oh God.
No, but I've been for what the new thing. Yeah, they've been. The first one was phenomenal. That first one. Oh my God.
Not Alan Rickman.
Was it Rise?
John Lithgow.
Dawn of the
Franco.
Yeah, with Franco.
Franco
and John Lithgow. as the dad with Alzheimer's.
What was the one with the battle?
That was the last one.
They took over. That was the last one.
Where they took over.
They were like, the humans were holed up and they had like a disease issue.
Well, that would be the first one and the second one.
Wasn't Alan Rickman? Who played a Sirius Black?
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, that would be Rise of the Planet.
Okay, all right. That's the one I saw.
Right? Yeah, Dawn is the first one. Dawn is real. The first one, amazing.
I didn't like that one. I don't know. I'm not.
You
a
just
fan
said
of the
you
plan.
Didn't see it.
No. I saw that. I didn't watch the.
Oh, the second one.
At the end.
Do you mean the huge one. Fight at the end of the first one where the gorilla takes on the helicopter? That was awesome.
No, I gave up.
It was sad too because like the gorilla like legit jumps off the bridge to take out the helicopter and then like ends up back on the bridge and he's just like dead. And they're all like,
oh, I did see that. All right, dead. I did see that. Yeah, I'm not. I'm still not. I don't know. I just don't like Planet of the Apes.
No, I any of them. I love them. They're great movies. I love them.
And then the monkey talks at the end.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, was that good for your space discussion?
I mean, if you guys want to talk about Planet of the Apes, I'm ready to go on that too.
No.
Oh, new or old, I don't care. Ron Serling.
Why don't we just talk about apes? Who's got King Kong takes?
I think we're good. We can talk about apes when the King Kong movie comes out.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
All right. So that does it for us for this week. Next week, we will have a review for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about a few other things. So that does it for us for this week. You can find all our episodes on iTunes and Podbean. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude, and follow us on Twitter at K1 Podcast. And that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Space bye.
Stay adios. Space.
Space adios.